Did you ever offend anyone? Don't answer out loud. Have you ever been offended? It should never be our intent to offend someone. But we should also, at the same time, realize that when we speak the truth of the gospel, it can and it does offend. And we must not sacrifice the truth to shy away from offending others when it comes to teaching the gospel. Christ offended many when he walked into their hometown and he was performing miracles. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 57 says, "And they took offense to him." Stephen in Acts 7 and verse 51, he surely offended the Jews because they stoned him to death. You remember what he said before they did that? "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart are always resisting the Holy Spirit, and you are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of you, of the prophets, did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by the angels, and yet did not keep it." And verse 54, "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." That's Acts chapter 7, 51 through 54. John the Baptizer, he offended Herod and got his head cut off. Mark chapter 6 and verse 22. The truth will sometimes offend when it's preached. Paul said, just as it is written, "Behold, I lay on Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and anyone who believes in him," you remember the rest of that, "will not be disappointed." Romans chapter 9 and verse 33. Peter and Paul and other disciples was put in prison. They were beaten and put to death just because they dared to speak the truth and offend someone. Paul told young Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." It's good to see everyone. I thank you for the good prayer. I join the announcements that's already been made. Thank you for coming, and we're glad you're here. By knowing who we are, by knowing who we are, teaches us to know who we are not. It takes a negative post and a positive post sometimes to jumpstart a battery. We have to get the polarity straight. So in this lesson, let's take a look at the positive of who we are not. The first thing I want to mention is we are not a denomination. The word denomination means division, and we didn't divide out of anything. The church is the body, and it's the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says that. The church was built by the Lord. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Christ said he would build his church. One of the first major denominations was organized in the year 1520 when a man's voice started the Lutheran Church. That's 1,486 years after the day of Pentecost. Do you have any idea how many denominations there are in the world today? I can recall in the middle 1970s, a gospel preacher standing right here where I am. And he stated with shock and bewilderment that there was more than 300 denominations at that time. That was about 50 years ago. And the last report for these days is about 44,800 denominations in the world. And these are autonomous denominations. And you know what that word means. It means self-governing, self-ruling, in control of its own affairs. Nothing at all like the one you and I read about in the Bible, the one that Christ built. In the last 50 years, these denominations have multiplied in leaps and bounds. So if someone was to ask you who you're not, you can tell them that we are not a denomination. We're just simply Christians that meet together, who on a regular basis enjoy Bible study and desire to be a New Testament church, just like the one we read about in our Bible. Our authority is the Bible for doctrine and for practice. It's God's blueprint. God meant what he said and said what he meant. And our aim here at this place is to follow God's plan in all that we say and that we do, and encourage others to do the same, to glory of God. But as we think about positive and negative, another thing that we are not is we are not an afterthought of God. There's many people who say that the Lord intended to set up a kingdom, and because of Jewish rejection, the Lord, in the spur of the moment, changed his mind and said, I'll just build a church instead. That's not what happened. And so we're not an afterthought of God. Someone says, well, how do you know that? That's what we read in our Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord. So someone asks, what's that mean? It means he had the church in mind all along. The Lord knew what he was doing. When you read of the prophecies in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 and Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13 and others, you can't read those prophecies and not understand that the Lord didn't have the church in his mind all the time. And so, when someone asks who you're not, we're not an afterthought of God. He knew exactly what he was doing. And next, we're not, now listen to these words carefully, we're not a Church of Christ church. Every Church of Christ is the Church of Christ, not a Church of Christ church. And we don't belong to some organization, and strictly speaking, we're not a Church of Christ church. We're just the Church of Christ. Not a, but the church. There's many times in the Bible when the Lord refers to his church. It's not a church, but his church, singular. The church that Christ built. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, verse 18. And so, as we inventory who we're not, we are not a Church of Christ church. Next, when we tell people who we're not, were not of the majority, never have been. In fact, the Lord's people have never been among the majority, always the minority. Back in the fifth book of Moses, chapter 7 and verse 7, Deuteronomy, when he said, "The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." And Matthew chapter 7, when the Lord described two ways, you remember those ways? The broad and the narrow. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He said, "Enter ye in by the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be in that find it." And so, we're not of the majority, and that's all right. We're among the few, but we're still the Church of Christ. You know, some folks brag, "We're the biggest church in town." You know, that don't mean a thing. These big mega churches do all kinds of things to get a bigger crowd. And a lot of those things are just plain wrong when it comes to the authority of the Bible. God says what he means and means what he says. I'd rather be among the few. How about you? But as we continue to think about who we're not a social club. Most churches are. The institution of many churches today is to eat, drink, and be merry. Not so with the church that Christ built. Paul said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Somebody says, "Well, I thought it'd be cookies and coffee." Paul said plainly, "No, it's not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. No meat, no drink, no kitchen, no fellowship hall. Our fellowship hall is communing with God every first day of the week right here. There's no gymnasium in the Lord's church. Did you ever remember the apostles talking about playing basketball? I don't think you did. There's no way on earth to have fellowship with the Lord outside of his church. You have to obey his word, and you have to be born again. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we can just live a good moral life and then go to heaven. No need to be a member of the Lord's church is a teaching that is not found in the Bible. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, we read, "Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men." And in the Old Testament, the old law, Isaiah said, "If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. You ought to underscore that in your Bible. Under the new law, Peter said, "If any man speak," you remember the rest of that? "Let him speak as oracles of God." The church of the New Testament must take the teaching of God's word as a pattern, as a guide, and not accept anything else. So the church we're members of is not a social club. And if we're not another thing, we're not a material building. In Acts chapter 5, we read about a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira. You remember what they did? They lied about their giving. God don't like lying, by the way. But within 3 hours, both of them was dead. And we read in verse number 11 of Acts 5 that fear came upon the whole church. We're not a material building. Have you ever noticed this building being fearful? These walls being fearful? Even in the worst storm or tornado, I don't think we have. The church is the people, and they got fearful. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 22, we read of things coming to the ears of the church. Do we need to look around and see if these walls has got ears? We're a material building. Material buildings don't have ears. But just think if these walls did have ears, all the sound doctrine that has been preached here within these four walls. But like in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27 says, the church gathered together. So you tell me, what happened? Was there a storm that blowed down all these churches and the brethren was gathering up the pieces and putting them back together? You know better than that, don't you? The people gathered. So we can say, when we're asked, we're not a material building. We're a spiritual building. And the spiritual building must be divine. It must be fashioned after a model that is found in the New Testament. The church was not a human institution when Christ instituted it, and it's not now and never can be. This spiritual building should not have any name but the name it had in the beginning, and that's the Church of Christ. Someone asked, well, why call it by his name? Well, he owns it, why? It belongs to him, and we are his servants. Servants in the kingdom. And let's always keep in mind, the Church of Christ can live without us, but we cannot go to heaven without it. We must take heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We are a spiritual building, not a material building. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. But as we think of who we're not a political organization. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. That's the government. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnations. For rulers are not the terror of good works, but to the evil. Without then, be not afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do what is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. But the church in which we are members of is not a political organization. We are to submit to our government and power according to the word of God. Because government serves a useful purpose, even the evil governments. God gave governments the job of punishing the wicked. And if you and I are doing what is righteous, then we have no worries to fear about the government. Peter said that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Peter 2 and verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man's for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that sent by him the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using liberty, for the cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And Paul told Timothy back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mother, for manslayers. So, the law exists to tell the wicked what they should not do, and governments exist to enforce the law on behalf of God, our Father. If the law of enforcement requires a death penalty, then the government has the right to enforce the law. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5 and 6 talk about that. And so we're not a political organization. It is a separate institute. Separation of church and state with all authority belonging to God. Next, we are not a militant people. We're not a fighting type of people like the Muslims, for example. However, we are fighters. We're fighters of the word. We are fighters in proclaiming the gospel, standing for the truth, and never flinching from pointing out error to a false religion. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 2 and verse 4, "And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up the sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And from that we learn our duty is not to be a militant people. We are not radical or aggressive. Some religious organizations are, like the Muslims. That's not our fight. That's not our job. We're fighters, but we're fighters of the cross, soldiers of the cross. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." That is to say, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, and meekness. One more. We're not a man-made church. We're in a human name. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said, "I will build my church," not man's church, his church. Most of these thousands of denominations that we hear about and see about, they're man-made, wearing the names of men, honoring them, practicing and teaching their doctrine, what they think. But we're not that kind. We must never be found drifting from the truth, and never at any time let it slip. We have no creed but the Bible, as given by the Holy Spirit. We gather under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his headship over the body, which is the church, our authority. And the apostle spoke of what Jesus said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles real quickly, Galatians 1, chapter 11 and 12. "But I certify you," now this is Paul speaking, "but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke what he heard from the Father." John 8 and verse 26. Jesus spoke what he heard from the Father. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And God said, we are to listen to his Son. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. Hear ye him. And we are to abide in the teaching of Christ. 2 John 9 and 10. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come into you any and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. And John said to avoid those who do not follow his word, because 2 John 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, 3 and 5. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrines which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, which some from such withdraw thyself. And one more, 1 John 4, 5 and 6. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We, that's the apostles, are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we are the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, we are not a man-made church. We are of the one body, of the one spirit, the one hope, one faith, one baptism, and one God that the Bible speaks of. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Thanks for listening so well. Are you of God? Are you loyal? And not just on Sunday. If you happen not to be a member of the church that we just talked about, you need to be. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You must believe or die in your sins, John 8, verse 24. Repentance is required by everyone, Acts 17, 30. You must confess before men, Matthew 10 and 32. Make that greatest confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And then you must be ready to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 27, for the remission of your past sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And have your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. You can then rise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4, and to be saved, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, and to enter into the church that Christ built, Acts 2 and verse 47, and then be faithful the rest of your life. Maybe you've already done that. You've gotten careless and need to be restored. You can do that just right now by repenting of your sins, praying to the Lord, coming forward. We'll help pray for you and with you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?